Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Thank you very much, Malcolm, for giving us a final look at the roadways. We now turn our attention to another phone line. Joining us right now is Massachusetts Auditor Suzanne Bump. Auditor, good evening.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you?
Good. I'm off those roads.
I have to tell you, joining me as somebody, I'll kind of give him kind of a fond title that some folks would know him as. The prototypical mayor of Whitman is kind of sitting in as my co-host this evening. Would you know who that is?
The mayor of Whitman.
Well, folks like to fondly call him that sometimes.
No, I don't know who that would be.
Mr. Mayor, if you will.
It's only because you haven't lived in Whitman for a long time, Suzanne.
Yeah, since 1978.
But it might be a local realtor who you've known for many years.
Is it a member of the Hayes family?
No, but there'll be one of them in here shortly. It's Richard, it's Richard Rosen.
Oh, my God, Richard, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm terrific. I didn't know that you were frequently sharing the mic with Kevin.
He does, and he is establishment, McGuigan's Pub, is a proud sponsor of Monday Night Talk. So from time to time, we let Richard come on in and grace the microphone and talk.
Oh. Wow. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this or not, but Kevin, you should know that I do have, my family has a relationship with Rosen. He just sold my mother's home for us. It was great. And she is no longer in Whitman, very happily ensconced in Emanuel House residence in Brockton now. Thank you, Richard.
You're very welcome. I actually ran into your mother a couple of weeks ago. I was going in to get my hair cut, and she was coming out from getting her hair done.
Oh, yes. Russell Edwards, would that be? Not to give away too many secrets.
No.
I'm not saying where.
So, Auditor, we have a couple of things on the docket to kind of chat with you about. Probably the first one right out that we want to kind of talk about is something that your office was able to do. Actually, a division, the Bureau of Special Investigations, was able to identify a record $13.7 million in public assistance benefits that had been fraudulently abused during the fiscal year 2015. Kind of talk to us about that.
Right. Sure. Well, most people know us for the auditing work that we do to try to make government work better. But one of the other jobs that we perform in state government is the pursuit of fraud in our public assistance programs. So our public assistance programs are the MassHealth program, the so-called welfare programs, emergency assistance, and family aid. We also cover daycare. And so what we do is we work with those agencies as well as work on our own to identify potential cases of fraud. We do those investigations. We work then, when we've identified fraud, we kick it back to the agency to resolve, or if it rises to the level of requiring criminal prosecution, then we send them on to the Attorney General's office, although in some cases we prosecute them ourselves. And so in the 5 years now that I have been in office, we've been working smarter and smarter. We have fewer people on the staff now than we did when I started out 5 years ago, but every year we have been able to identify increased levels of fraud. And so this year it hit a record of $13.7 million in fraud that we had identified, which is a big increase. It's a 44% increase over our findings from 2014. So this is about how we work smarter on behalf of the taxpayers to protect the integrity of these programs.
Suzanne, how many staff members are there that were able to conduct over 10,000 investigations?
Oh, dear, I should know how many are in that office. I want to say that there are about 45 investigators.
I just find that amazing.
They completed almost 11,000 investigations in that past fiscal year, which ended on June 30th of 2015. And they identified over 1,100, so it's a 10% of the cases that we have investigated have ended with a finding of fraud. We actually think that we could find even more fraud if we had a couple more tools at our disposal. We're trying to convince the legislature to allow us to subpoena financial records, because a number of the cases that we have had to close, we think that if we had more access to information, we would be able to find fraud. But we have a hard time getting the information about people's financial transactions from their banks and from other financial institutions. It's a very cumbersome process for us to get a subpoena from the court to get these records. And frankly, cumbersome means time-consuming, means hours spent. That translates into staff time and money on our part. And so you've got to figure out, okay, so what's the issue here? What are we likely to be able to find and recover before we decide whether we're going to go forward with the court process to get a subpoena? But if we could on our own subpoena those records, we think we could identify even more fraud.
What were the benefits that were targeted and seemed that were most desired by the individual groups that were a part of this?
Well, the highest dollar value actually consistently comes from the Mass Health program, and that's because the services that Mass Health provides, that is doctors, therapists, hospitalizations, it's very quickly, as we all know, to run up medical bills. And so you could spend a year getting your health paid for wrongly, fraudulently, under the Mass Health program. And that's going to have a much higher dollar value attached to it than, say, food stamp fraud. You can be on food stamps benefits for a year, and that will that could only be a couple of $1,000s at most, but it can easily run tens of thousands of dollars in Mass Health fraud. And so we spend a good deal of time on those cases. About a quarter of our time is spent on food stamp fraud.
Is the investigation still ongoing as to the findings, or is this perpetual?
This is every year. We just do this day in and day out there. We always have active cases. As I said, there were 10,000 of them that we investigated last year. Mm. But I think we're getting better at it because we've improved our working relationships with the agencies that provide these benefits, so that they are getting more timely referrals to us, because the quicker you can do an investigation and complete an investigation, the more likely you are to find the fraud and to be actually able to get a recovery. We all watch enough crime shows to know that if the trail goes stale, then you're not as likely to find the wrongdoing. So, working better with them, doing more of our own work by identifying through our ability to analyze transactions and patterns in benefit use, we are able ourselves now to identify more fraud. So, as I say, we're getting smarter at doing this, which is producing bigger fraud findings every year.
Now, you talked about a little over, nearly 11,000 investigations, which identified a little more than 1,100 cases where you had the fraud. So once you have identified the fraud, are we talking that automatically you're having a conversation with the Attorney General's office?
No, because in some cases, frankly, it's a small dollar amount. It may not have gone on for very long.
Okay.
But certainly when you find a case where someone has, for a period of years, failed to identify other sources of income in the home, that there are wage earners in the home that legally are supposed to be helping to support that family, and if their income was reported, then the family wouldn't qualify any longer for food stamps. When you're doing that year after year, or claiming to have custody of children that are actually living with your
ex-spouse,
and when you have really the more higher dollar values and more egregious behaviors, that's when we will prosecute those cases. Otherwise, the agencies that deliver those benefits in the first place get word of what our findings are, and they bring the person in and try to recover some of the money. They disqualify them from future benefits and the like.
How much help do you look for from the public? Is there like a hotline or something that if folks suspect that there's fraud, they want to file a complaint, can they do that?
You can do so anonymously. You can do so online at our website, which is mass.gov/auditor. You can go to the website and you can see how you can make a confidential complaint. We also have a hotline that you can call, which is 617-727-6771. You can send an email directly to us at infoline@SAO, stands for State Auditor's Office, .state.ma.us. And all of these complaints that we receive are kept confidential.
Excellent. Again, we're speaking with the Massachusetts State Auditor, Suzanne Bumpa, who is our guest for this segment. I want to segue to something that I know that you're part of in regards to the new coalition that has been assembled to help fight illegal opioid prescribing and dispensing. And I know that you're in on this along with the Attorney General and MassHealth, et cetera, et cetera. Give me your thoughts, because I know that there was a statement released and that you actually had some input into this.
Well, that's true. Some time ago, some number of months ago, I sat down with the Attorney General because I, like so many other people, want to do my share in trying to address this scourge of opiate abuse. Kevin, I think that, you know, I've told you before that years ago, not very long ago, but I sat on the board of the Edwina Martin House over in Brockton, which is a women's alcohol and drug recovery program, and I have an interest in these issues, and wanted to see what the auditor's office could lend to this effort to fight this problem of opiate addiction. And we've also talked on this show about this ability that we are creating in the auditor's office to engage in what we call data analytics. Mm-hmm. So it's just taking data, information, records from many different sources, and being able to process that and ask different kinds of questions than we've typically been able to get, because we have new technologies. And so one of the areas that we are always working in, not just in our fraud investigations, but also in our audit work, is the Department of Mass Health, of Medicaid Services, which is the Mass Health Program. And so as we were churning through all of this data, we were looking for what insights we might be able to get about opioid prescriptions. And what we were able to see is that, again, looking at prescribing patterns and usage patterns, the usage of opiates, by members of the Mass Health Program, we were seeing some rather alarming patterns of opiate prescribing that suggest that doctors are not doing the right things by their clients, by their patients, and that they are really feeding their addictions, and maybe not even just the addiction of that individual, but really turning into a pill mill. And those individuals are getting drugs from doctors and then selling them to others. And so we have done a lot of work in this area, found that a number of the doctors whose patterns of practice really raised questions for us indeed are currently being investigated by the Attorney General's office or a district attorney's office. So we have joined forces with the Attorney General to put our technology and our ability to do this analysis in her hands and the hands of others in law enforcement. So she called up others from law enforcement, the FBI, the Drug Administration, Drug Enforcement Administration, other DAs, and others in law enforcement. And now we're starting to have conversations about how we can help either deliver, give them leads as to doctors who are abusing their prescription writing privileges, or how we can help them do research into doctors that have already come to their notice. So I'm really proud that the auditor's office can make a contribution to help solve this problem.
Anything you want to say in closing in regards to the coalition that's been put together?
Well, we've had our first meeting, we're going to be meeting again soon. In the meantime, we're doing some more data analysis, and I'm just excited that we can make, as I said, this contribution to this problem. You know, there are a lot of doctors out there who are, you know, very scrupulous. I don't want to certainly paint with a broad brush. But there are some doctors whose behaviors really need to be questioned and potentially criminally prosecuted.
Oh, as always, we thank you very much for coming on and joining us and talking about what's going on in the auditor's office. And if there's anything that folks want, have questions, how can they get in touch with your office and any of your staff?
Probably the best number that is the number that I gave you to report fraud, and that is 617-727-6771.
Richie, anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to say it was great talking to you, Suzanne, and you're doing a great job.
Lovely. I'm sorry I didn't realize that you were the mayor of Whitman, Richard.
Yeah, it doesn't pay well.
I won't slip up on that again. I do just want to take this opportunity, though, to remind you that that we all have an obligation to get out and vote on March 1st in the presidential primary election in this state. Massachusetts is one of the Super Tuesday states. There's a lot at stake in this election. I think, as you know, Kevin, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton. I thought long and hard about it, and I'm supporting Hillary. I think she's got a great range of experience and ideas to address really the pocketbook problems that are facing all of us in all families in America about health care, the affordability of education, gun violence, and keeping our country safe. So I'm pretty excited about her candidacy, and I just don't want anybody to forget to vote on March 1st.
Excellent. That was an excellent public service announcement, Auditor. We thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Great to talk to both of you guys.
You have a great evening.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll step aside, and when we come back, we'll speak with Shannon O'Brien. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.